We praise you, Lord, for what you do in our days and our midst. We praise you, Lord, that we have you and experience you as a living one, as one fulfilling all his word. We give our hearts completely for you and your purpose. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is so glorious, so marvelous to hear these testimonies, what the Lord is working in our hearts. We prophesy through the Spirit. Everyone being touched by the Spirit prophesies. For our further progress going on, that we were fully alive, Lord, to gain the heart, and we all would stand on our feet and be an army for our living God, by which we can conquer all the enemies. Praise the Lord. What is an army for, meant for it, but conquering the enemies? Lord wants us to be an army. We need this view. We need a strong spirit. And we do have faith in us. Praise the Lord. Breath has come to breathe into us. Praise the Lord. And we prophesy. We keep on prophesying. Breath come to breathe further on us. As Ezekiel 37, he emphasized and prophesied several times. Each step the Lord does, a new prophesying, right? Praise the Lord. I read Revelation 21, verse 5. And he who sits on the throne says, "Behold, I make all things new." And he says, "Write. These words are true and faithful." Our God will surely fulfill this word. He makes all things new. Where does he start with? In my heart. In our hearts. That's why it's so important that we give our hearts to the Lord. That's a privilege to give the hearts to the Lord. The people of the world, your friends, your classmates, colleagues at your university, what a heart do they have? Darkened. They don't see the living God. They don't experience him. But our privilege is to know the living God and experience him as he leads us, as he uses us. Praise the Lord. He will make new the church life in all places. We haven't reached the goal yet. But the Lord will fulfill his word. These words are reliable, trustworthy. That's saying he who sits on the throne. Yes, he who sits on the throne is saying that. Not any one of us, no man has the capability to fulfill, accomplish this work. But he who sits on the throne, he surely has all the authority, the power. He's not only the creator, but he's also the one restoring everything, recovering everything, throwing the enemy into the lake of fire, and we are joining him. Don't we like to do that? Amen. As a sister just said, she has received more than she had prayed for. I think that's the case with all of us, right? And we do not go home as we have come. We do not walk our old ways. Amen. But we walk the new and living way in spirit with a renewed heart. That the Lord will still renew day by day. And we do not allow the things of the world to creep into our hearts again and fill it. Right yesterday night, a brother asked, I don't remember how you exactly formulated Do you agree? And everybody said yes. It is a decision for the Lord. And we stand to this decision, right? The youth conference is ending. But the Lord is the same even after the conference. He is the living one, leading us in all places to walk His living way and to do His living work as described in Acts. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And this example we had read this morning, which is in Acts 13, shows such a glorious church life. What is so glorious there? That no one lives his old man. They come from so many different localities. It's not only Jews anymore, having become believers. They come from Africa. They come from Cyprus. They come from different levels of society. One of a royal background, he is the stepson of the king. But no one lives his old man. We have to see it so clearly. The church is not a meeting, gathering of believers, just being together according to the doctrine, one place, one church. But it is something completely new, where our old man remains buried. Yesterday we had three baptisms. The baptism is something wonderful, but it's just the beginning. We live in the reality of baptism. My old man has been buried. I don't want to know anything of him anymore. Before the church life, he isn't qualified at all. But the new man the Lord has brought forth, the new man, our inner man, he is absolutely capable, qualified to build up the church life. Praise the Lord. I appreciate so much as it's described here as an example. The church life with these five brothers, how they did not live their old man anymore. There was a Levite among them, but he forgot what he had brought from his past of the old covenant. Hallelujah. We read, don't think of the old. The Lord is doing something new. We have to forget about our experiences, our disposition, our whole old being, our old man, and give ourselves for the building up of the new man, which is the church. It's a new creation. Hallelujah. What God is doing is not improving the old, but He creates something new. Praise the Lord. And even Saul, he was called here, still. You see him mentioned in the end. Maybe that's a sign for that no one was uplifted here. Paul had been a zealous person, extraordinary person, but here, humanly speaking, he's nothing. Hallelujah. Right, we are, humanly speaking, concerning our old man, we are nothing. Amen. But the Lord in us is precious. He wants to be lived out of us, by us. Church life means we live by Christ with a new heart. Praise the Lord. We read Ephesians 4, we read it before. Hallelujah. Then Galatians 3:27. Now, what's the like to mention? Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, have you been baptized into Christ? Baba, I see you here. Praise the Lord. We all have been baptized into Christ. Isn't this precious? That is a reality. We today are in Christ. Amen. be baptized into Christ. We have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If we lay hold of that and live it, are there any problems with oneness in the church anymore? Only if I insist on my opinion, on myself, then in fact there are problems. And if I insist on my experiences and make it the measure, the scale for others, then you have a problem. But if you have seen it and have grasped, we are one person in Christ, hallelujah. No problem with the oneness anymore. My body doesn't have a problem with itself. I don't have a problem with my little finger. Because it's one body. We need this view, we need this to apprehend this reality in the church life. We are one. And that makes us free. What hinders us? Let the Spirit flow. It is ourself, our old man. He has been buried, but we are one. So what should we be afraid of? Let the Spirit flow. The Spirit is wonderful today in us. This oneness is so glorious, and there's nothing on earth that can compared to the church and its building up. It's a glorious expression, glorious taste, great enjoyment, being one with the saints, praise the Lord. But this oneness is not only for us to enjoy, but it is for the going on of the Lord. That's what you see in Acts 13. These brothers not only said, hallelujah, we're all one, we enjoy this oneness, glorious this oneness, but they also stepped before the living God as one man, that he could go on, move on. That's what the Lord desires. He not only wants us to see the church for ourselves, and he only ministers us, but that we would have a heart to serve him. And that is what is included in this new heart. There is such a desire. New heart, new spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord, they urge us to serve the living God. Not in many works, but first of all, by coming to Him Himself. Didn't He rent the veil? Isn't this the big invitation for us? Praise the Lord. We want to exercise to come together forward to Him. I want to exercise that with the brothers in Pforzheim to come before the Lord together, stand before Him. Our own burdens and intentions and plans, to forget about that. Stand before the Lord and ask, what do you want to do? What do you want to work? The church is your house. You have to work. The building up of the work of the Lord. What can we do? The spreading, the work of the Spirit. What can we do? Where should we go? We don't know. But the Spirit prepared. Did Peter know of Cornelius? He didn't even know him. But the Spirit knows. That's why Peter has to come before the Lord. And we have to come together before the Lord. That's a burden to me. Not I myself alone. Not only my relationship with the Lord. That's important. But also exercise to come together before the Lord. We have the brothers, we have the sisters. And even if we are few in our place, even as few ones, we can come before the Lord. No matter whether the church is great or small in your place, you can come before the Lord. Stand before Him. As in the incense altar. At the incense altar. There was not much left to do. But it was praising Him. Moving His purpose before Him. Lord, You here want to do something great. Here where we are, You are a glorious God. Could it be that the church displays so little of Your glory? Lord, create something. Do something for Your glory. As Moses, You took care of the testimony of the living God. It shouldn't be that as a nation's mock, religion is mocking the building up of the church. Because we are weak. This shouldn't be the case. Our God is strong and He's living. He's holy. And His work on this earth has to match Him. It is not a man's work. It is the work of the living God. Lord, we seek You. Lord, yes, as Isaiah standing before the Lord said, "Here I am. Here I am." The Lord simply needs that. Here I am. And then He may work in us, giving more light, cleansing us more, combining us. What is needed in the church life? And these brothers here, they underpinned their intention. Really fascinating. They meant it really business. It's not Tuesday, 8 o'clock p.m. prayer meeting. But no, it's a burden to us that the living God would go on, would not be hindered, that we would not set His limits, but we, as we heard already, to allow Him and see an unapprehendable, large, extraordinary great things. Our God surely wants to show us new things. And I have to admit, I had the concept so many times, all the young people, they have to reach that far as the most burning older ones in the church life. But that is not enough. That is not enough. We have to reach that far as the living God wants to lead us, what He wants to do us these days. We do not want to limit Him, restrict Him through our concepts, through our knowledge. No. Lord, He wants to do more. In Acts, He did more than we experienced already. That's what we at least want to experience. He wants to finish a church. He wants to be admired in the saints. Praise the Lord. He wants to destroy the enemy through the saints. Praise the Lord. Rule, reign through us. Gain people through us. Praise the Lord. He is truly a wonderful God. We want to learn to stand before Him. And also to have our ears treated. He wants to speak clearly. That's what I want to experience. Speak clearly what He wants to do. Not have any concept of someone being sent. No, He should speak what He is desiring to speak. Perhaps He wants to say that a home fellowship should come up in this household. We've not seen it before. We need His speaking. We need His speaking. We need His guidance. It is His work. And I see it in these verses. It's so glorious. The picture of Ezekiel. These four living creatures. Their wings touch the throne. And they touch one another. These brothers here are one with each other. They are just one. But they are under the throne. It's not a man organizing, guiding and shouting at them. No, it's the one sitting on the throne saying, "I make all things new." They're focusing on Him. Such a church life we need. And then the chariot may move on if the Spirit, oh no, the wheels may move on if the Spirit says, "Now move on." Now move. The Spirit says, "Now." And Acts 13 says, "Now." Now, separate to me, Barnabas, etc. For the work, for the work. In these works we want to walk. I do not only want to know Ephesians 2, to walk in the works he has prepared. I want to experience this together with you. Lord Jesus. One more point. This waiting for the speaking of the Lord is not a passive speaking. We're not sitting here doing nothing. We exercise our spirit. We are burning in spirit. That nothing would hinder our hearts, that nothing would frustrate the spirit in our hearts. But then when the spirit speaks, now we are ready. That's Romans 12. The word says as a great encouragement, be burning in spirit. Be burning or fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The wheels have to be prepared. As if we want to leave, drive away. If you have to look for the keys of the car, search them, and you realize, oh, gas lane is empty. You cannot drive. Oh, you have to be burning in spirit, exercise. Start the day saying, Lord, I give my heart to you. Give me today a new heart. Give me a renewed, rooted, firm spirit. Make my heart firm, established. In Hebrews it says, oh, our heart should be established. We receive a new heart, but also should be established for the Lord, in the Lord, that we will not be falling back easily and wavering. No, we will be rooted, established by grace. I want to take you as my grace. I want to touch you as a living one. Praise the Lord. The Spirit is always available. We can lay hold of Him, apprehend Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. For burning in spirit. Amen. We want to burn in spirit. Lord, would you thank you for such a wonderful church where the brothers are all in oneness, serve you together, that you through all the times could speak. Make us all such ministers. Make us all in all places such a church. We do want to experience this reality. We bind all our sloppiness, things burning in spirit.